And greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Weinihau. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Guten Tag. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now, from the entertainment capital of the McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection, prison, cheese-covered violence industrial complex of the Corporation of the United States of Listeria. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, where not only is democracy on the move, it has entirely moved out. We've outsourced it now to other countries, and it's my role now. We are here spreading liberty throughout the world. That's what our mission is here at Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Liberation for all sentient beings. We have the propaganda that's good for you here as we search for the truth by trying to figure out who's paying off whom to say what to whom. I have nothing to hide. No one has paid me a dime to take this opportunity in the corporate commercial media world to say to you, now please, eat your vegetables, preferably organic, and frequently raw. You won't hear that from Bill O'Reilly. No, you won't hear that. No, the Cabbage Council, the Carrot Board, the Onion Lobby are not paying me off to ask you to chop them all up, you know, along with celery and, by the way, I like to use both green cabbage and red cabbage together. Apparently, I'm giving away my recipe now for my favorite salad, only because, well, you know, I feel for that guy in the old Kills Jr. commercial who walks up to the produce section looking baffled and confused, and that voiceover announcer says, without us, some guys would starve. Okay, for those starving guys listening, and this will be, I guess, maybe one of the secrets that I'll publish in my future vegan romance book, The Way to a Woman's Heart, is by impressing her with a salad. So, okay, we have the green cabbage, the red cabbage, maybe red butter leaf lettuce also, red onion, carrot, celery. You know, you can use your imagination. You know, if you've never been to the produce section, you know, don't use something that needs to be cooked. Don't cut in potatoes or, you know, eggplant or anything that, you know. But, you know, zucchini works, cauliflower, tomatoes, olives. I have a few secret ingredients that I sneak in there, meaning an apple, raisins, sunflower seeds. And just, you know, cut them all up. A nice dressing. You can have organic olive oil, maybe the juice from a couple of organic lemons, a little Bragg liquid aminos, and it is absolutely heavenly. Or as Bush propagandists would say, well, what would they say? Right here from a Bushtapo press release here. The ingredients that I have just mentioned are the constituents of a weapon of mass destruction, and the Department of Deutschland Security advises that you immediately destroy that salad recipe. Its use could be a weapon of mass destruction to the U.S. economy, perhaps, which is based on your consumption of meat, also based on your heart operations and cancer treatment and patronage of drug companies. So, and what we have now is an FDA committee recommending that Vioxx and Celebrex and Bextra, you know, all remain available for consumption by consumers, even after all we've heard recently. And, you know, so what if they cause tens of thousands of heart attacks? Meat causes millions, and amazingly, it's allowed to be sold legally, maybe not morally, but legally, well, at least for now, until I rule the world. But now George W. Bush rules the world, and he rules the media, too, his little public relations firm, the ABCNNBCBS Fox censorship channel, where meat rules. And, you know, when do you hear about meets latest threat, where millions of humans can die. Not hearing about that on Fox lately, but CBC Canada came out with a report from Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam, and it says here, the world is in the gravest possible danger from a flu pandemic. The world is teetering on the edge of a deadly pandemic spurred by avian flu, and governments must make emergency plans immediately, a top official from the World Health Organization says. We at the World Health Organization believe that the world is now in the gravest possible danger of a pandemic, said Dr. Shigeru Omi, who heads the UN Health Agency's Western Pacific office. He warned that at a conference, if the virus becomes highly contagious among humans, the health impact in terms of deaths and sickness will be enormous, and certainly much greater than that of SARS. The scientific conference in Ho Chi Minh City is aimed at coordinating attempts to eradicate the avian flu virus, which has decimated the region's poultry industry. They've been killing every chicken, every duck there. Experts have reportedly warned that the virus could mutate into a form that can spread between people and be as deadly as the viruses that killed millions of people during the world's three influenza pandemics last century. So, is eating meat wrong? I mean, is there anything right about eating meat? And now we have this to look at, along with the heart disease, cancer, stroke, the usual, mad cow disease, all of this. But in this age of Bush, where war is peace, a healthy forest is one without trees, mercury is a nutrient, and arsenic is a vegetable in the school lunch program, where EPA officials are pressured to manipulate the truth all the time. And did you happen to see this in the L.A. Times? Where did I put that? L.A. Times, February 10th. Here in quotes, it says, more than 200 scientists employed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service say they have been directed to alter official findings to lessen protections for plants and animals. A survey released Wednesday, this goes back a couple of Wednesdays ago, says more than half of the biologists and other researchers who responded to the survey said they knew of cases in which commercial interests, including timber, grazing, development, and energy companies, had applied political pressure to reverse scientific conclusions deemed harmful to their business. If you can believe that, and I don't know what to tell you in this age of Armstrong Williams and Jeff Gannon, you might think that the government is paying me off when I say, well, you know something? I'm thinking here, maybe a vegan diet is unhealthy for children. If you hear me say that, you think it's contradicting my childhood goal where
I know, you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
Well, apparently you can't believe everything you read and everything you see, especially in this age of Bush propaganda. And if you were looking around and saw all the articles generated recently that said, children harmed by vegan diets. And, I look at that and I know immediately that it's nonsense because I know how meat is harming children and they're showing signs of heart disease at early ages, ages 4, and obesity and all the problems that go on with animal consumption. But here it is, looks like the Armstrong Williams here. Children harmed by vegan diets. It's in the BBC News, and it says putting children on strict vegan diets is unethical and could harm their development, a U.S. scientist has argued, and we're certainly believing. Well, anyway, so it says Lindsay Allen of the U.S. Agricultural Research Service attacked parents who insisted their children live by the maxim "meat is murder." Animal source foods have some nutrients not found anywhere else, she told a Washington science conference. And now the Vegan Society dismissed the claims immediately, as I would, knowing what I know and every study and all the research that I've seen. Then actually Paul McCartney even came out and said, this is all rubbish. you know, here's somebody, I'm thinking, well, why is there something like this being published at this time? And here's another one. It appeared. It says, "Raising children as vegans, unethical," says professor. And then you find out that she works with the USDA, which just happens to be promoting meat. And much like you can now trust the FDA and all of these government agencies, all of these government agencies who are now just pawns of corporations here, and to, you know, sometimes you have to look for the truth a little deeper. And there was a good response from my friend Jeff Nelson at VegSource.com. And if you go there, it says, "National Cattlemen's Beef Association pays for sadistic anti-vegan study." And what Jeff said is here, you may have heard about a study claiming that feeding a vegan diet to children is tantamount to child abuse. What you may not have heard is that the study was paid for by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. I will continue to quote Jeff Nelson here. "What's more, the study itself was depraved and showed no regard for human life. Like Nazis experimenting on captives, the cattle industry manipulated very slightly the diets of starving African children. Not to benefit the children, but to try to produce some scientific finding which justifies meat eating." So he says here, they say a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Well, it's even more dangerous when it's wearing a lot of respectable titles. In one of the most irresponsible and flat-out ignorant statements of recent days, Dr. Lindsay Allen, or is it Dr. Armstrong Williams here, currently of the U.S. Agricultural Research Service, told the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science that a vegan diet was so lacking in necessary nutrients that it is tantamount to child abuse. Was this based on carefully conducted research? No. Was it based on structured study with control groups and meticulous monitoring of what children ate? No. Was it perhaps based on a large number of children eating a normal vegan diet who were found to have a greater than usual risk for illness? No. Her basis for this bizarre and completely unfounded declaration was her experience in Africa. Children who had been eating nothing but corn and beans were given a little meat and their health improved. Not children on a normal healthy vegan diet. Children who had been eating nothing but corn and beans. Adding almost anything to their diet would have caused improvement. Just eating beans and corn isn't an accurate representation of a vegan diet any more than it's an accurate representation of a kosher diet. So what do you find when you look at children who are eating a normal vegan diet? Children raised on fruits and vegetables and whole grains and legumes grow up to be slimmer and healthier and even live longer than their meat-eating friends. Vegetarian and vegan diets can be a healthy way of eating for all age groups. And, you know, this proof is from the American Dietetic Association. It's just known now, but you know, here you have a USDA representative making a ridiculous claim, and you know, really threatening the health of children in Africa. It's beyond belief. So, you know, we'll talk about this further in the weeks ahead, and we'll have some of my dietitian guests in the future to address this. But as Paul McCartney said, it's pure rubbish. Pure rubbish. Go vegan. Don't, you know, in the age of mad cow disease, when one bite of a burger, one bite of a steak can be fatal, this is rubbish. So Ms. Armstrong Williams of the USDA or whatever should be ashamed of herself. And, you know, where else do you hear this? It's in the BBC. It gets reported there. People look at it and they take it as truth. And, you know, these days, you know, look. Consider the source. That's all I can say. And you know, every week here we have the medical research to support going vegan for all ages. And we want a show like this to continue, don't we? So I need your support. I just broke my headphones today, so maybe you should send a tax-deductible donation. You know, I spend all day, all week, I'm on the phone asking people to advertise, to make donations. I had somebody on the line this week who was just the perfect product, the perfect environmental product to advertise on the show. And she said to me, well, I'd like to do it, but the owners of the company are conservative, and your show is extreme. My show is extreme, she says. But if the conservative listeners wanted to really examine how extreme this show is, they can find the basis for this dietary lifestyle right there in the Bible, right in the beginning, Genesis 1:29. It's right there. And what's extreme to me is people dying prematurely and having heart surgery and cancer, and all of that is what is extreme to me. Anyway, I invite you to make a tax-deductible donation to this radio show. Help us stay on the air. Send your donation to Go Vegan and mail it to P.O. Box 40246. That's P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. We have the Oscars tonight, and that's happening. And we have a very special star of stage and screen, the movies, coming up with us today, Pamela Ferdin, whom you may know. Well, she was the voice of Lucy in Peanuts specials, and Charlotte's Web, and has a cult following for her appearance in Star Trek, and she was Tony Randall's daughter and The Odd Couple. And we will be talking to her today about her efforts on behalf of animals, and she is tireless in her dedication to animals. We'll talk to Pamela Ferdin coming up today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I'm always talking about how delicious Veganaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veganaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veganaise? Or a tofu burger with Veganaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veganaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veganaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Webers, MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veganaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. And also from Follow Your Heart, don't forget vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. They melt four different varieties, so you can have pizza, you can have enchiladas, you can have nachos, and you don't have to have everything that comes with scary dairy. Also from Follow Your Heart, chicken-free chicken. Okay, a little music maestro. Is that, yes. Okay. And then the youngster can tell us who we are, where we are. We get our bearings. No? Yes? No? No? Okay. Well, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And we are happy today to once again have Pamela Ferdin with us. And I just mentioned her.
Hello?
Hello. Pamela. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you, Bob, for having me on.
It's great to have you back again. And, well, you've been involved with issues related to L.A. Animal Services, Mayor Hahn, what's going on in the killing pounds around Los Angeles. And maybe you can give us a little background on the history here and what you're trying to accomplish, what animal rights advocates are trying to accomplish in Los Angeles now.
Well, Los Angeles Animal Services, which we call Los Angeles Animal Dis Services, runs LA six city animal shelters. But they're not shelters. They're virtual death camps for animals. And it's just a horribly run governmental bureaucracy, and over 50,000 healthy, happy dogs, cats, puppies, kittens, rabbits, and wildlife are literally systematically executed because of the incompetence and corruption of the Department of LA Animal Disservices.
And so what's been going on? I see a lot of controversy going on with Han's appointments and the personnel at LA Animal Services. What should they be doing, and who's to blame here?
Well, you know, it all trickles down from the top. So, of course, Mayor Han is responsible for the mismanagement and corruption of this city department. Basically, Animal Defense League Los Angeles, which is a grassroots animal rights organization, in June of 2003, we began an organized campaign to stop the killing in our six city pounds. We did this because never in the history of animal rights, at least that I know of, did animal rights activists take on the killing that's going on right in our own backyards. And, you know, we usually focus our energy on things like fur and circuses, rodeos, things like that, which are all very, very important cruelty issues. But, you know, I live here in the city, and right here in our own backyard, we have six virtual death camps for companion animals, and also any wild animal that, God forbid, is imprisoned there, like anything from California brown pelicans to squirrels to anything, they're immediately killed. So we have slaughterhouses for companion animals right here in the city of L.A. So we thought, you know, we need to clean up our own city. So we want to start locally, think globally, and act locally. So we focused our attention on our newest campaign, which people can find out about at www.stopthekilling.net, all one word, stopthekilling.net, and find out how they can get involved if they live around the Los Angeles area.
Now, there are other cities with no-kill programs. And
certainly. You know, the shelter system throughout America, and actually throughout the world, is becoming much more progressive. And we look at places like, obviously, San Francisco, but we look at Seattle and places like Orlando and Atlanta, Georgia, and New York City. All these shelter systems are putting in place common sense and progressive policies that basically increase adoptions dramatically and decrease the killing dramatically. And they're solutions that are they have a wide range from policies that cost nothing to implement, I mean zero money to implement, that are so helpful in facilitating adoptions, to, you know, getting donations from the community to help out with free spay neuter. But in LA, nothing is being done. It's run like the dog catchers of the 1950s. Basically, the LA City Department of Animal Services runs their city shelter program like a catch and kill mentality. Like, it's back in the 1950s. It's very archaic, and they don't use any common sense or progressive policies, because most of the people appointed by Han are total bureaucrats that know nothing and care nothing about the companion animal issue.
Yeah, so haven't we went through a general manager, and there was a recent appointee also from Han. And why are they so resistant? I mean, if other cities are being successful with their programs, why is LA so resistant?
Well, you know, I think it's just so habitual. They've been running the city pounds exactly the same way, literally, from the 1950s. Now, that's more than 50 years of outdated manuals of things that might have been used in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, but they're not being used at all anymore by progressive shelter systems. But unfortunately, LA is just stuck in the 1950s. They haven't updated anything, and they certainly haven't looked to hiring people in key positions that know how to run humane shelter systems. For instance, many of the key positions that Han appoints to, like the general manager and people like the public relations officer, the field commander, they are all not only incompetent, but they aren't even schooled. They aren't even educated in humane shelter practices. So they come from a completely different background. For instance, Jackie David, who's the head of the public relations department, she comes from the city's garbage department. That's where she worked for years, and she was then transferred to become the PR official of the LA City shelters.
So, that explains why the animals are treated like garbage.
Exactly, and that's Han's whole mentality. What I believe, and this is my opinion from hearing about Mayor Han from inside sources and knowing people that know him and work with him, he is very vindictive, and he just cares. He could care less about animals. For instance, when he was city attorney of LA City, there was a case of horrible abuse. A man saw this little chihuahua who was out and about and was urinating on his mother's front lawn. He took a gun and shot to death the chihuahua. There were witnesses across the street, and the deputy city attorney asked Han, who was then city attorney, to if they could prosecute the case, and he basically told her no. And when she asked why, he said it's just not newsworthy and there were more important issues. So we have a mayor that not only doesn't care about animals, especially companion animals, but certainly doesn't want to bring our shelter system into the new millennium.
Mm. I know that there were problems with the old general manager, Jerry Greenwald, and finally he was forced out of office, and Han didn't make a better choice after him.
Well, you know, it's sad to say we all lobbied. The humane community lobbied. Animal Defense League lobbied. I mean, everyone lobbied. And basically, we ended up with another middle management bureaucrat from Maryland who knew nothing about running a shelter system, who never even shared his home. He and his wife never even shared their home with a companion animal, and basically was brought in, we believe, as a political favor, like most of Han's appointees. And it certainly wasn't done for the animals. It was done because Han thought that it would be better for his reelection. So I don't know if it had to do with unions or if it had to do with what, but it certainly, he wasn't brought in by Han for the animals.
Is somebody profiting by keeping the system so archaic and cruel to animals? I mean, what's... You know,
there has been some talk about the rendering facility. What they do is they drag, after 4 business days, they drag the animal into a kill room, which the employees call the bump room. And while the animal is shaking and struggling for his or her life, they plunge a needle into this animal and kill the animal. And then, without even checking breath sounds, they drag them into a freezer, and some are still alive when they're thrown into the freezer, and then they're taken by city garbage trucks to a rendering plant in Vernon, California, where they are chopped up into fertilizer, and some people have even suggested pet food and other products. So I don't know what's going on, but there certainly is some suspicion with a lot of people that the city is profiting off the dead bodies, because the more dead bodies, the more rendered product like pet food and fertilizer.
Wow. So where is their hope? What can be done on anything on the political horizon that offers us hope for the 50,000 animals? You know, we love dogs and cats. These are our best friends, and we do this to them. Where's our hope here?
I know, and that's one of the reasons why Animal Defense League, our group, and our members decided to target our city death camps. Because really, if the public can't sympathize with a cat or dog being dragged and killed against their will while they're urinating and defecating and vomiting, then how can they ever sympathize with a chicken or a cow? And I think if people knew the horrendous conditions and the way these animals are killed, they would. The problem is, like with the meat industry, like with the fur industry, it's all hidden. And that's what we found. The public doesn't know that this goes on. They literally think that if they can't keep their animal, and they bring them to one of our city shelters, that their animal will be adopted. And so one of the things we've done is to try and expose what really goes on to an unknowing public. And we've done that by having protests where articles in the newspapers have been written. We've gotten articles in the Daily Journal and the LA Times. We've gotten footage on shows like Celebrity Justice, on the news, showing undercover footage of animals being dragged to the bump room. So I think, you know, that is one thing. We're bringing it to the public's attention. Another thing is putting pressure on the people that are so incompetent and letting them know that we are not going to back down until the incompetent employees are transferred or fired and competent, intelligent, caring employees are placed in their positions.
Mm-hmm. And the website is stopthekilling.net.
Right, and you know, in L.A. City, we have a mayoral and city council election coming up May the 8th. So we're asking everybody to not vote for Han. Basically, get that guy out of office, because that would be the best help for the animals. And certainly a vote in city council members who care about animals and a mayor who cares about animals. And basically, a mayoral candidate named Walter Moore certainly has come out in favor of stopping the killing, but we also have Hertzberg and Villaraigosa who would also be good. Nobody would be as bad as Han. Han would be the absolute worst to be reelected March the 8th. So, you know, we just want to get the word out.
Right, and there are a couple of other others running for the city council who are being supported also.
Yes, David T. Vahedi for the 5th district, which is Bel Air, Westwood, Wilshire area. He has a huge, and a little bit of the valley, David T. Vahedi, we're totally backing. And also Jeff Bornstein, who is in the West Valley. So we want Jeff Bornstein and David Vahedi to get into city council, and they would be replacing two very bad council members for the animals, Dennis Zine and Jack Weiss, who have not helped the animals one iota. And in fact, Zine wants to kill the coyotes in the West Valley. He wants to trap and kill the mothers and their pups in the West Valley.
Mm. And there are humane solutions to that. So, but we always, it's always kill. If we have a problem, let's just kill, like bomb Iraq, you know, it's kill the coyotes. There's a lion, you know.
That's the easiest for them, and it lines the pockets of the people they're working, you know, their constituents, because, you know, the pest companies and you know, fish and game and the people they hire to go out and trap these poor coyotes, they're making money, and it's easy for the council members. So they take the easy way out instead of the intelligent, compassionate, and humane way out, which hopefully when Jeff Bornstein is elected, he will do just that.
Right. And there's information on the political scene. We have messages coming our way every week from the Animal Legislative Action Network, and that too, expressing support for Walter Moore for mayor, David Vahedi, the 5th district, Jeff Bornstein in the 3rd district. And that website, that political action website, is alanpack.com, alanpac.com, kind of voicing sentiments similar to yours on the candidates there. And Walter Moore seems to be quite popular. People aren't sure if he has a chance of winning. I know that he just sent out a release saying the LA Times poll doesn't even allow his name to be considered in the poll they're taking. So.
I know. It's terrible. It really is terrible how they're shutting him out. But again, the most important thing and the thing that we're concentrating on is voting out Mayor Han, because he is the worst thing possible for the animals.
Well, then let it happen that way then. And, you know, we'll keep following the story politically. And I believe you have to run now, don't you? So
I sure do. But I just wanted to thank you again, Bob, and thank you for being so supportive and so amazing as the host of your show. I listen to it every Sunday religiously. And just remember to visit stopthekilling.net. And then we also have Han Sucks. www.animalservices.com.
Okay. And Pamela, I want to thank you for all you do for the animals. I mean, you know, you are relentless and outspoken. You don't back down. You've spent some time incarcerated for your beliefs in one of the most amazingly ridiculous trials I've ever witnessed. You know, it's like Pamela brought, you know, she brought a bull hook to a circus demonstration at Pierce College to show how the elephants are beaten, you know, for demonstration purposes, meaning not demonstration like a protest, but, you know, for show and tell. Here, this is what they use to beat the animals. And Pamela is arrested for having a stick, you know, like you're not supposed to have at a protest. And everybody knew it wasn't there as a weapon, but, you know, you still were guilty and jailed, which is beyond belief. But
well, you know, it's so ludicrous that here, you're absolutely right. I was literally displaying this bull hook, and the people going in, again, it's all hidden from the circus goers, but the circus goers who would come over and they would look at this bull hook and they would say, oh my gosh, I can't believe, yeah, I've heard about these things being used on the elephants, and they would get it. And it was such an important teaching tool to really show people how these bull hooks are used to strike and beat elephants into submission, into doing these totally unnatural and highly difficult tricks. And it worked so well. We basically carried that bull hook and displayed it at every single circus demonstration we had. And this one circus protest at Pierce College, they arrested me. And yeah, I ended up serving, they gave me 30 days, but I ended up going into jail on a hunger strike. I didn't eat, and they put me in solitary confinement, and then they let me out after 7 days.
Hmm. Well, you should learn your lesson now about the bull hook, and the only thing worse that you could have at a protest that would attract arrest would be a megaphone. So,
yeah, Bob, definitely, and you're the best on the megaphone, I have to say.
I still need to free my megaphone from the San Diego Police Department from last year's circus protest.
Free Bob's megaphone.
It is a cop magnet for sure, but okay.
You know, I'll tell you, I think really that this just brings more publicity. What we go through in our court cases, that's why we use our court cases as just another facet of our activism, because when we go to court and fight these ludicrous charges, and even if we end up going to jail, we educate a segment of the population that would never be educated. I mean, we educate the jurors, we educate the stenographer, we educate the judge and the lawyers there and the people in the audience. And then, if we go to jail, I'm educating my fellow prisoners, and
yes,
they get it. I mean, I talk about the dairy industry, the cruelty of the circus, and all that. So it just brings more publicity. We get more articles written, and it actually, in the end, I think, it helps the animals.
Sure. Well, and holy cow, they need it. Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, Pamela, so much for all that you do. I appreciate you being on Go Vegan with Bob Linden today. And you can tell your friends if you want them to hear Pamela on today's show, they can go to the website, goveganradio.com, and our new show appears there every Sunday afternoon, as we appear on the radio every Sunday afternoon. So
it was an honor, Bob.
Thank you, Pamela.
Okay.
Bye. And if you recognize Pamela, if you recognize Pamela's voice, yes, that was the voice of Lucy. Lucy in Peanuts specials and on Charlotte's Web, and she of Star Trek. Was it the Trouble with Tribbles? Was that the? I think that's the episode. Anyway, she's practically a cult hero for that Star Trek appearance, Tony Randall's daughter, Clint Eastwood movies. She was a child star, and you see her name in all the old TV guides, practically every show. There was Pamela Ferdin, and here was Pamela Ferdin today on behalf of the animals, as she usually is. And again, I want to remind you for what's happening politically on the scene for the animals and the endorsements and the latest issues, go to the website. It's ALANPAC.com, the Animal Legislative Action Network, alanpac.com. Let you know that if you're a vegan who needs a set of wheels, well, you're a vegan important person at Bear Auto. Bear Auto, 1944 South Santa Fe Drive in Vista. And the phone number, 760-597-1600. Open 7 days a week. Hundreds of recycled cars available, boats and collector cars also. You can go to the website. It's bearautosales.com. That's B-E-A-R autosales.com. And you can see the inventory there. You can get directions, information on in-house financing. Bear Auto buys cars. We'll give you cash. And, you know, you won't feel like a fish out of water at Bear Auto because, well, Gary's vegan and there are PETA posters on the wall and no high pressure, except maybe from the two rescued sales poodles, Chet and Lewis. But special deals for vegan important persons at Bear Auto.
Oh, no, now you're going to give the people animal burgers.
Not around here, they are not. No, indeed. We don't eat animals, we don't wear animals, but we sure do wear Earth Vegan footwear. Why? Because it's comfortable, and it certainly fits our ethics, and I invite you to try on a pair and see how you're affected by the famous Calso negative heel technology. It's funny, I talk about Earth Vegan Footwear every week on the show. They are kind enough to be a sponsor and support us and buy advertising so that we can buy time on the station here. And I just hear from people all the time. So sometimes they say, what are those shoes again with the negative heel technology? Well, it's Earth Vegan, and I guarantee you're going to love these shoes. Everybody who tries them loves them, and they are certified vegan by the UK Vegan Society. You can check out all the styles at the website, earthvegan.us, earthvegan.us. The toll-free number is 877-746-3364, 877-746-3364. I point at Leo to see, will he give me music or will he give me the...
Mad cow, bird flu. Which one is killing you?
Yep, and how do you avoid those? Well, you go vegan. You don't eat animals. And we're very concerned about bird flu, the word coming out now out of Asia. And certainly no animals will be served. When we come to Animal Rights 2005, which is coming to Los Angeles starting July 7th, the Westin Hotel, virtual who's who of the world of animal rights and all the workshops and rap sessions, and it's just a great networking opportunity, and all the big names in on animal issues will be there. So go to ar2005.org for information on registration. You know, you got to be there. It's happening starting July 7th, so I hope to see you there. The potlucks are resuming in San Diego. It's kind of a vegan chef showdown this coming Saturday, March 5th at 5 p.m., the monthly potlucks, which were started by San Diego's Earth Save chapter and continued by Compassion for Farm Animals. They're starting back up with an awesome showdown. Diana of We Make It Vegan will challenge anyone in San Diego to a vegan cooking showdown in Iron Chef style. Secret ingredient to be announced at the potluck. So are you a talented chef who's up to the challenge? You want to judge the final products? Join us March 5th, next Saturday. It'll be the first Saturday of every month now, at the Ocean Beach Women's Center, located at 2160 Bacon Street in San Diego. 2160 Bacon Street, that's the only bacon we allow around here. That's the street address, okay? Let's see, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, well, this year, Sea Shepherd is part of a unified opposition comprised of many groups with a variety of missions and strategies in order to join together and strengthen our chance of ending the annual seal slaughter that happens in Canada, over 300,000 seals every year. The Unified Opposition is organized by harpseals.org. harpseals.org. You can visit that website to learn more about the specific members in the opposition. One of the major strategies of the opposition now is to shine the international spotlight on Canada by staging a worldwide protest. The protest is being held on Tuesday, March 15th. At Canadian embassies and consulates and other locations all around the world. You can visit the worldwide protest page to find a local sponsor, or if there isn't one in your area here in the United States, you can contact Michael at cshepherd.org, or internationally contact Tim at cshepherd.org. As people do listen to this show internationally, I hear from people in Australia and England and India and all around the globe who listen at goveganradio.com. You can go to the website and sign up for email alerts. We'll let you know what's going on. So anyway, that is the deal there. So it's international protests, Tuesday, March 15th. Homeless pets memorialized through an art exhibit, art that speaks for homeless pets, on now through March 18th here in Los Angeles. The Best Friends Art Project gives voice to the idea that euthanasia is not an acceptable solution to the overpopulation of domestic animals. This exhibition reflects a reality which has already taken root in so many communities, working for a day when there truly will be no more homeless pets. So there's a wonderful exhibit going on at 2 California Plaza, the lobby level east. That's 350 South Grand Avenue in Los Angeles, and the exhibit will be on display now through March 18th during normal business hours, and underground parking is available in the building. If you wish to email, it's artproject@bestfriends.org. Again, that's 350 South Grand during regular business hours. Oh, I want you to mark a date on your calendar, por favor. It will be April 23rd, a Saturday, and I think it's time for us to have another event where we get together, have some good food, celebrate animals, and for this occasion, it is Earth Day for the Animals. Earth Day for the Animals. We'll be doing this at Kung Food Restaurant in San Diego at 2949 Fifth Avenue. Near Balboa Park, and you know, anybody who's lived in San Diego any length of time knows Kung Food. It was closed for a while, now newly reopened, 100% vegan, and we're going to have a wonderful event there on Saturday, April 23rd, and tables are available for nonprofits and for businesses also. You can inquire by calling me at 818-623-6477 or email me, bob@goveganradio.com. bob@goveganradio.com. There's an opportunity for major sponsorship of this event, as well as tables for nonprofits and companies. And again, only vegan and cruelty-free products and services can be promoted at an event like this, where no animal will be harmed in the production of the event. And we're going to have great reggae music there and screenings of videos related to animals and the environment. And there'll be a $20 admission that will include the wonderful food, the wonderful music that we'll have there. And I'm going to drag Carrie Brown down again from Chef Carrie Brown, whom we know from our great event that we had on Thanksgiving. And he'll be there, and we will be preparing some wonderful foods. I mean, right now we're considering, you know, to have, you know, Piece by Pizza, Global Norming Nachos. Let's see. Erosion of an Inch is a lot of enchilada. We're going to have the cheeseburger that saved the world. We're going to have Kyoto Japanese chicken. and just a wonderful menu we'll be talking about in the weeks ahead. So we will see you on April 23rd, and part of the reason for having the event is to bring awareness to the following week's event, the following Sunday, May 1st. It's San Diego's 7th annual Bowling for the Animals. It's going to be a great time there, and gosh, you could even win a Las Vegas vacation. Lots of great prizes, wonderful vegan food, including Ranchos giving us tamales, and it's just going to be a great time at Sunset Bowl, 3093 Claremont Drive, Sunday, May 1st, 12 noon. And this is a benefit for Go Vegan Radio, a charity near and dear to my heart, as well as three others near and dear to my heart, San Diego Animal Advocates and the House Rabbit Society and St. Nicholas Hope for Animals. All the information you need is at bowlingfortheanimals.org, bowlingfortheanimals.org. So mark those two dates on your calendar, okay? So we're going to have Earth Day for the Animals, which will be on Saturday, April 23rd, and Bowling for the Animals on Sunday, May 1st. And then we look ahead to AR 2005 coming in July, and that'll be at the Westin LAX, and that will be a total blast. If you haven't been to one, please make sure that you are there, okay? Let's see. Heather Kilo Walden, a member of the Go Vegan Texas Collective, is accepting submissions of prose, poetry, and short essays to compile into a book. The deadline is May 31st. And she's looking for compassionate prose and poetry. All proceeds will be donated to animal charities countrywide. And you can send your submission to Animal Charity Book, 5826 92nd Street, Lubbock, Texas, 79424. Or you can email heather@akindofmagic.com. heather@akindofmagic.com. Okay, let us see how we're doing on time here. Time always flies when we're having fun. Let's see if I covered all my bases here and I can get into animal news and views. I think we might be able to get into a few stories here today of events going on around the world, what's affecting animals, and again, the solution, right? If we have a problem. It's killing, huh? Tiger was shot, killed near the Reagan Library. That was in the L.A. Times, an elusive tiger that prowled through Ventura County near the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library was killed last Wednesday morning in Moore Park. The lion's origin remains a mystery. Let's see, male or female here? The article keeps referring to the lion as it, and I don't refer to animals as it. I refer as he or she. And why couldn't a tranquilizer have been used? Why did the tiger have to be shot? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you remember, during a school assembly in 2002, we covered this story. A kindergartner at Scotts Valley's Baymont Christian School in Northern California was mauled by a Bengal tiger. The tiger lunged at the child, who received 55 staples for two cuts on his scalp, and enveloped his head in her mouth. The exhibitor, Zoo to You, was later fined by the U.S. Department of Agriculture for the incident. And despite this near-deadly incident, California schools continue to host big cat displays, putting their students in grave danger. Among the animal exhibitors dragging animals to California schools is Sid Yost's Amazing Animal Actors. Yost has been repeatedly cited by the USDA for failure to meet the minimum standards of the Federal Animal Welfare Act, including for failing to handle animals in a way that ensures public safety and the welfare of the animals. As evidenced by the recent horrific mauling of Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy fame, big cats and other dangerous exotic animals are wild animals whose instincts remain intact regardless of their time in captivity. Since 1990, there have been at least 177 dangerous incidents involving captive big cats in 36 states. 12 adults have been killed and scores more have been mauled. And yet the cats are allowed in California schools. Well, what can you do? The California State Board of Education Policy 0102 makes clear that students enrolled in public schools have the right to a safe environment that should include the ability to attend school without fear of being attacked by wild animals, don't you think? So get in touch with Jack O'Connell, superintendent in Sacramento. It's J. O'Connell, J-O-C-O-N-N-E-L-L, at cde.ca.gov. The phone number, 916-319-0800. Let us not have those exotic animals in the classrooms, okay? The Cornucopia Institute has filed formal complaints with the USDA, claiming that two large dairy farms in California and Idaho are violating national organic standards by confining cows in an industrialized setting without access to pasture, as required by the Organic Foods Protection Act of 1990. The Idaho farm with 4,000 dairy cows is owned by the largest dairy in the U.S., Dean Foods, which produces Horizon, so-called organic milk. The California farm, which houses 10,000 cows, half of them are considered organic, is a major supplier to Dean Foods also. And the suit contends that it's virtually impossible to milk 2,000 to 6,000 cows and give them true access to pasture as required by the Organic Act. Well, to me, anyway, organic milk and meat are bull. Dean also owns Silk, soy milk. The ban on older Canadian cows is facing a challenge from the Associated Press. American meatpackers challenged a ban on shipments of older Canadian cattle, arguing in federal court that it's arbitrary for the government to say that those animals are at greater risk of developing mad cow disease. To me, if the animal is bovine, there's the risk in this day and age, and I wouldn't swallow it. And you have Canadian beef entered the U.S. due to lax oversight on the part of the USDA, a Reuters report saying lax oversight by the U.S. Agriculture Department, and confused food safety inspectors were to blame for imports of 42,000 pounds of Canadian beef products in 2004 that violated a U.S. mad cow disease ban, federal investigators have said. So the inspectors are confused. But they did say the USDA has said the banned products that did enter the U.S. market from August 2003 through April 2004 did not pose a health risk to consumers. Again, they did not pose a health risk to consumers. And now, 20 senators, according to an Associated Press article, 20 senators from farm states have written to Japan's U.S. ambassador Wednesday, urging that country to follow up on its promise to lift an import ban on American barf. I mean, beef. Japan has banned American barf. I mean, beef, because of mad cow in this country, and now there's talk of a trade war. We want to force them to ingest what could prove to be a fatal disease. Could I invite you to please send a tax-deductible donation to support this show so that we can be on the air every week to expose all of these truths here? Make your check payable to Go Vegan. Mail it to P.O. Box 40246. That's P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. Let's see, what do we have here? Maybe I'll save that story for next week. Environmental changes wrought by population movement, destruction of habitat, and other factors may be behind a resurgence of infectious diseases, a United Nations study says, as reported in Planet Ark. Deforestation, unplanned urban sprawl, poor waste management, pollution, building of roads and dams, and rising temperatures are among the aggravating factors boosting the diseases now. Best thing is what? Oh, go vegan. Yeah, that would be the best thing to do. Shame on everybody who goes to the Oscars tonight wearing fur. Shame on you. You have too many dollars and too little sense, in that case, I would say. A lost hunter who started a forest fire in Northern California while trying to keep warm was ordered to pay $18.2 million in restitution this past Wednesday, according to the Associated Press. That's Jason Husky. Where's he going to come up with $18.2 million? And besides the millions he has to come up with, he's also banned from the Mendocino National Forest for 5 years. For 5 years only, he burns down the forest, and he's only banned for 5 years. Pretty crazy. Okay. Anyway, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We will have so many stories that I would love to get to, but I can't because we are running out of time. I want to talk to you about pigs that are being tested with tasers and New Mexico not quite going for the cockfighting ban. We'll get to these stories next week. Chicken feathers may be used in computers in the future. All of that coming up on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the planet's first and only vegan radio show on commercial airwaves. Thank you for listening. Please go to the website. It's goveganradio.com. Goveganradio.com. Send your tax-deductible donations. I need the money. Thank you. Stop wearing animals. Stop eating animals.